We're a small group church. That means the heart of our church is happening in small groups. Small groups isn't just another ministry. It's something, a place where we all get together, a place where we can grow and cry and sometimes be angry and, you know, all those different emotions. But it's also a place where we make disciples and impart to one another. And God has really blessed us last year with a very good harvest in terms of people coming to small groups. All the small groups, every one of them multiplied at least once. That was something that was very special, to see how God was adding people, how Jesus is building his church. But also it brings challenges, you know, as you grow. You always need a bit of capacity. And it's good news in a sense. I love to visit the small groups, but it's impossible for me to get to all of them. So we're bringing in a bit of a support system, a few son and a daughter in the house. And this aren't new people, Henning and Liesl. I don't want to say you like furniture here, because that might be a bit degrading in a sense. But you all know them. You know their hearts. I believe they've got also a pastoral anointing on their lives, that they really care and really, if I think especially of Henning, you know, he's one of those guys that just make time to drink coffee with someone, you know. And also Liesl, yes, Maggie, not always with you, the single ladies, but that's his heart, I know. But nevertheless, I just want us to pray, and you can stretch out your hands if you feel like it. Last year we talked a bit about commissioning Christians, and, you know, we don't just want to say somewhere in a newsletter or something, maybe I must just explain a little bit. They will be zone coaches. That means that they're like a spiritual mom and a dad. They will visit some of your small groups, and we call them zone coaches. You know, as you have a coach coaching cricket or maybe golf, and tell the person, listen, stand like this with your feet, hold a club like that or whatever. You know, in a spiritual area, they will be the people, small group facilitators. They will tell you after the small group, you can't tell someone you are stupid, or you can't tell someone this or that, you know. So listen to them. This morning we just want to kind of anoint them and commission them and pray over them. And I believe it's something really important, a place where they will visit different small groups and just spend time with the small group facilitators, and it will really help me, Aaron and Reinhold, a lot to get around and get to you and to listen to what you've got on your heart. So, guys, we want to pray for you this morning. Can you close your eyes, and just as we commission them, you can just in your heart be with us. Father God, we thank you this morning for Henning, Lord God, and for Liesl, Lord God, people that's been for a long time part of our church, part of our family, Lord God. Lord, we know the fruits of their lives, Lord God. They're not standing here, Lord, because we threw a dice, Lord God, or we looked in a teacup or something funny, Lord God. We know them, Lord God. We know their hearts, Lord God, and we can see the anointing on their lives, Lord God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as they go to small groups and spend time with small groups as zone coaches, and as in a sense being a spiritual mom and dad to small group facilitators and the people in their zones, Lord, that they will see people through your eyes, Lord God, through your glasses, and that they will see people's strengths and abilities, Lord God, and the calling and the anointing on their lives, Lord God, that you will amplify it in their hearts, that they can see it, Lord God, and that they can work with what you've given them, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that they will be like shepherds, Lord God. And Lord God, wherever they need to bring someone closer to the family, to the fire, Lord God, that you will give it to them, Lord, in their hearts, that they will see, Lord God, when a sheep is going astray, Lord God, and from a place of love, Lord God, that they, just like you did, Lord Jesus, that they will bring people closer, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, that, yes, that you will speak to them, Lord God, and yes, Lord God, that your hand will be with them, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would just bless them, Lord, that you would just allow them, Father, to hear your voice, Lord God, and just be attuned to what you call them to do, Lord God, as they go around people, Father, that they see their hearts, Lord God, where they see people are just in trouble, Father, where they are able just to respond with that in love, Lord God, just like you did, Lord Jesus, and they are able, Lord, just to walk, Father, where you call them to walk, Lord God, and they will run the race faithfully, Lord God. It is something that we've seen in their lives, Lord God, that they are so faithful, Lord God, even if it's few things, Lord God, or if there's a responsibility on their lives, Lord God, that it is something they embrace, Lord God. They do not cringe away or hide away, Lord God. They embrace it fully, Father God. We just ask your blessing upon their lives, Lord, to give them wisdom and understanding, Lord God, for the people's lives they will touch, and and just change, Lord God. I just thank you, Lord, that you would bless them in their individual lives, Father, in the lives that they live normally, Lord God, that you would just give them that time upon time, Lord, just to be able to make time for people that are in need, Lord God. Make time for decisions that need to be made, Father God, that you would just give them, Father, that amazing grace, Father, that they are able to stand upon your word, Lord God, and just move forward, Lord God, that you are that beacon, that light, Lord, that they are following, Lord God, and they are not following man upon this earth, Father, but your amazing love, Father, that is just the example that they have in their own lives, Lord God, and that they will be the example to those around them, Father, that they will be able to lead and have that respect and command that respect as well, Lord God, that you have placed over them, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for the authority, Lord God, that you have in their lives, Lord God, and they are able to respond to that authority, Lord God, and be under authority, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you would really bless their lives, Father, and just enrich them, Father, so that they might be a blessing to those around them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So they will be supervising our small groups, so be nice to them, listen to them. They've got delegated authority and they will report back to me and the elders regarding what they see. Then another person that's definitely not new in the church, someone, a face that you will really know well, the guy with the blue shirt, Johnny Kirsten. Johnny, if you can come and stand here next to me. I still remember that first Sunday I met you in 2012, that January that you visited church. We were still at the old venue, and we had a talk and stuff, and I remember soon afterwards we had a coffee, and I was soon to see that there was something different in his life. And the scripture says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And I believe this morning, as I'm going to give the opportunity to Johnny to share a few words on the Ignite ministry, the poster you've seen at the back, also there in the porch, in the front, it's not that... Our white straws and serviettes are out of stock. It's yellow for a reason. You will see a bit later. But yes, it's something that was birthed in Johnny's heart quite a while ago, and we walked quite a road to get to here. And I can tell you, maybe, I think in the past probably 6 months, I've spent more time on the telephone with you than anyone else in church. And we really talked a lot. And Johnny, I value those times. It's awesome. And if you know, look at Shofar and our culture where we want to make disciples and raise leaders, this is what's happening here. It's something that I'm really excited about, to give a son an opportunity to share the word, to share the gospel, to share something on his life. And as I said, if you are here and you're regularly here, you will know it's not a surprise. It's something that was due in many ways. So Johnny, I wanna say a big welcome to you in the pulpit, preaching the word. It comes with a lot of responsibility. But I know Johnny has counted the cost. It's something that I believe he's done quite a while ago. So Johnny, I just want to pray for you also. Yes, Father, I want to thank you for the way you're building your church once again this morning, Lord God. And the way you are adding, Lord God, the way you are doing things, Lord. And I want to thank you for Johnny as a son, Lord God. I can say this morning that I love him as a son, Lord God. And he's, Lord, for... Thank you for his example, Lord, for keeping his eyes on you, Jesus, Lord God, and that nothing is too much, Lord God. I hear a long time ago that he counted the cost, Lord God, and I believe, Lord God, that you raise leaders, Lord God, that you put a calling and anointing on people's life, Lord God, for the sake of the church, for the sake of the body, Lord God. And Lord, today we wanna bless this part of the body, Lord God, and what you want to do for his life, Lord God, and as a church and a group and a fellowship, Lord God, we want to pray, Lord God, that you'll protect Johnny, Lord God, and for a sound mind, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, we represent something so dear to your heart, Lord. And yes, Lord, that he doesn't have to do anything in his own strength, Lord God, that the way and what you called him to do, Lord God, that it will be something very clear to all of us, Lord, something that has been clear for a while now, Lord God. And this opportunity, Lord God, Yes, Lord God, we want to rejoice this morning, Lord God, in many ways, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Cole. It's quite nerve-wracking standing here in front of people, having to share what God has laid on your heart, but I'm very excited. I'm first going to tell you where Ignite started. I'm just going to go through it very quickly, and then I'm going to share something that God shared with me in a place where I didn't actually want to read Bible, but I'll get to that. Ignite started about 2 years ago in my heart. when I gave my heart to the Lord in Stellenbosch, we also have a shofar there. It's where it started. And God did something in my heart every time I came back to Namibia. As soon as I crossed the border, I started to weep, and I couldn't understand why. And God asked me a simple question. Are you heartbroken for the people of Namibia? And he was starting to break my heart. I said, no, it wasn't. But he was starting to break my heart. Ignite wasn't ignite at first. It was first just in my heart, a passion that God started to birth. Because everywhere we see religion. And I didn't want that for my family. I didn't want that for my friends. I wanted life, and I wanted freedom. But I also wanted it for the nation. I had a mentor in Stellenbosch that told me, Johnny, if your dreams doesn't scare you, you're not dreaming big enough. And I was like, okay, what does that actually mean? Okay, I'm trusting for my family, I'm trusting for my friends. Oh yeah, I can trust for Namibia, that kind of scares me. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to trust for Namibia, and I'm still trusting for Namibia. I think this is just a beginning, and I can't wait for God to birth that passion. Ignite is a ministry that is focused outwards, because many times the church want to focus inwards and on ourselves and on our own problems. But I believe that when we focus outward, that is when most of our problems just fall away. When our focus becomes Jesus and what his heart focuses on, and that is the lost. I just want to quickly share a testimony of yesterday when we did treasure hunting. We call it treasure hunting. It's when we pray for word, where we need to go, or who we need to go see in order to invite to church. And yesterday evening, a couple of us came together and we just prayed, and it was so amazing. I just saw rugby posts, and that we need to go to rugby posts. So we went to Wanderers, to United. And I was just like, okay, Lord, but this is not only a cricket field. And then I saw the rugby field next to it, and there was only one couple. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. The volleyball is going on, the athletic is going on, the athletics, and there's this one person. And me and Warrior went together, and Maggie and Tracy went together in the other direction. And I was just like, yes, Lord, I want to do this now. I'm going to go. And Warrior's just, he just feels like, no, we have to go to the hockey field. We go to the hockey field, one person. Just one person walking with their dog, and we're just like, we're giving out these flyers to invite them. And then he said, no, I feel that we need to go to Vooronebrok here. And we go to Vooronebrok, and he says, no, I see a woman with black and neon green. And we walk that shop, like, till the ground, and then there, she was standing in the, at the till where she needs to pay. And then black and shocking green. And it's just so amazing how God speaks, because when we came back, Maggie and Tracy got the same word. They need to go to look for people with shocking green on. And it's just amazing how when we just put out our faith, God meets us there. And then if you struggle to hear God's voice, or if you struggle to see him in your life, it's, I believe, these outward-focused events and stuff that really start to get your heart burning. And then you just start to focus on him again. Ignite will entail teaching people how to share the testimony, going on treasure hunts, and having outreach events that we're going to do. Even if it's public worship, if that's what God wants, we're going to do that. That's Ignite. And I just quickly want to thank Renata. She did our designs so epically. And if some of the people have shirts on, can they just quickly stand and just turn around? This will be the Ignite shirts. And there's Renata as well. They look like this. And when we're going to go out and minister to the people, we're going to wear those shirts. At the at the back, there will be scripture where God says, the harvest is ready and the laborers are few. So pray that there will be laborers that are raised up. But we're going to print that as well. I just quickly want to open this up. I just quickly wanted to share scripture that God placed on my heart for Ignite. It's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 to 5. It won't be on the screen. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I believe God just spoke to me when he said that we have lost. Because we have lost that faith in the gospel. If you can keep this question with you, when last have you actually shared the simplicity of the gospel with someone? If you can just keep that in your heart. Acts 4 verse 31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And then 33 says, and with great power the apostles gave witness. Because I know it's very frightening often to share your testimony or to share the gospel with someone. But I believe when you tap into that place of power from the Holy Spirit, it just ignites something in your heart. And then you start to speak from a place of trusting God that he will speak through you and that you don't have to worry of what you have to say. But that obviously comes when you spend time with him. When you spend a lot of time with him, an intimate time with him, he starts teaching you stuff of his heart that you usually do not grasp at first, but then he takes you into that most holy place where he imparts it to you. And that is when we change. Because I believe that only the Holy Spirit can give permanent change together with freedom. Many people have strong wills to stop smoking, to stop doing this or stop doing that. But there's so little times where that freedom comes together with that permanent change. Because me, myself, I was religious and I tried to stop a lot of stuff, including pornography, including drugs, including cigarettes, including alcohol, including, you can name all of them. And it was a struggle to stop. I would stop for a month and I would fall in it again. Because I wasn't reborn. I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. As Scripture says, when you're filled with that Holy Spirit, and you tap into the power of God, then that boldness comes. It just comes. It was about 2 months ago. God shared the scripture with me. And I didn't want to read this part because it's Exodus and how they make the Ark of the Covenant. And you know when they start with, you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and you shall put the poles into the rings in the side of the ark and carry them by the ark. You know, those type of scriptures you don't want to hear. You don't want to read them because it's just like, oh, Lord, I know they made the ark, and it's this, so many cubits, and it's this, and what do you want to show me here? And then if we can go to verse 60. At the bottom, okay, it's difficult to read, but I'll read it to you. And okay, so the pole shall remain in the rings, the ark, they shall not be taken from it, and you shall put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. And I sat there, and my spirit started linking scriptures. And at first it came to mind, it's like, okay, the old covenant and the new covenant. Oh my goodness, God, what are you saying? Like, put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. What does that entail for the new covenant? And I just quickly want to show you the next picture where this is Solomon's temple. And you have the outer courts, and then you see the holy place. It's like the inner court where the Levites and the prophets came together. And then you have the Holy of Holies. Now, that was our old covenant where you had a spotless lamb that was inspected for a week before sacrifice was made for our sins, for atonement. The sins was never removed, it was only covered. So that when the high priest went in, he would take the blood of the lamb and he will mix it with the water and then he will sprinkle it on the altar. But God's presence resided in that Holy of Holies. On the Ark of Covenant, where the angels had their wings together. And inside that, God says, put into the ark the testimony that I shall give you. And later on, it speaks about the ark of the testimony. And when Jesus died for us, he also went through that week where the Pharisees constantly questioned him to see if he was that spotless lamb. And when the high priest tore his clothes, in those days you had identity with what you wore. And when he tore his clothes, he actually denounced himself as high priest, and Jesus became high priest as well. So he took both of those spiritual positions when he died for us on the cross. When he died, he was a spotless lamb as well as the high priest. And he took his blood and he put it on the spiritual altar that separated, that tore the veil from heaven and earth so that we might have the Holy Spirit. And if you can see, those are three parts, outer, inner, and then the Holy of Holies. We are the same. We have body, we have soul, and we have spirit. And that spirit is at most holy of holies. We no longer need that temple because we are that temple. And the Ark of Covenant now resides within our spirit. And when he says, put into the Ark the testimony that I shall give you, the Holy Spirit imparts that once you get saved. I believe that the gospel of Jesus is your testimony. It is the gospel made personalized. He has placed that testimony inside of you. And I believe our testimony together with the gospel carries the presence of God. In Revelation 12 verse 11, it talks about, you shall overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, which is the gospel, and the word of your testimony. It's that what he that he speaks about. And when that carries the presence of God, it ushers people into that place where you can share the gospel, because it's not your testimony that saves, but it carries the presence of God. It ushers people in to that presence where you can start sharing your gospel. Oh, Jesus' gospel, the gospel that was given to us. I'm going to speak about two testimonies of the Bible. The one with the demon-possessed man, as well as the adulteress that Jesus met at the well as well. But before we get there, I just want to read you scriptures. I don't believe they will be up there. And this is where a part of Ignite's heart comes in. It's when we read Romans 1 verse 16, where it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. First for everyone who believes, first for the Greek, and then first for the Jew, and then for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I believe we've forgotten to live by faith, every day to live by faith, because we often get comfortable. We often build up our riches here, and it becomes comfortable. I remember I was sent on an audit to Arawap, and it's a very small town. There's three shebeens, and then there's a hospital, and then there's a few churches. It's so amazing that when you go into a small town, there will always be five denominations, and there will be alcohol. That's what there will be. But there won't be one church. There will be five denominations. But anyway, I came there. It was the most challenging week of my life. I even prayed for a dead person, but I'll get there. There were no place for me to stay inside the little town, because they had what they call wintersport and a winter school. It's where all the boere come together and they have their meeting for the farming meeting, and I don't know what. And there weren't any place, so I stayed in the hospital. It was very challenging, but God just asked me, "Will I receive this cup of suffering, if I can say it like that?" And I started to embrace it, and my character started to change. And it was amazing. He made sure I took my sleeping bag with me. I'm like, I'm packing my sleeping bag, I'm packing my kusung, and usually we have awesome accommodation. And I just came there, and I was there, and something amazing happened. That is what I wanted to say, to live by faith. I didn't have any money left. That was the last week of the month. And the last money I had to pay into my fiance's account, so I paid that in, and I'm like, okay, God, what are we going to do? I'm going to drive there. Then I don't have any money to come back again. There's one ATM. It's Bank Windhoek, I think, not F&B. I only have money in my South African account, which is just barely enough maybe to get me home. And I'm like, okay, God. I drove there. I thought, okay, no, go there. It's not that far. Come back. No, it's far. It's about 670 kilometers. And I was just like, okay. Now my tank is empty. Luckily, I stayed at the hospital, and I ordered at the hospital as well. Met this amazing accountant. She just loves the Lord. She built herself up from where she washed the floor till being in the accountant, and it's amazing. I just love her. And we also had an awesome time. And I was just like, God, what do I need to do now? Yeah, I have to start to live by faith, but how am I getting back? I can ask my parents, but that'll take a few days to go get into my bank account, and I don't know where, and I don't know what. And needless to say, we finished the audit on Thursday, which was awesome. And when I had to drive back, I was like, okay, God, this needs to be now. I don't know why. And I go to the accountant, and I start speaking to her, and I'm just like, yeah, it was a great audit, and we can go back, and. And she's just like, oh, yeah, I'll ask her, where's the F&B? As if I know that there's no F&B. I want to draw money. I don't know where I want to draw money. She says, no, there's only a Standard Bank, but don't worry. We're going to throw petrol in for you. And I'm like, what? And we go, they put in petrol, they drive. I'm like, Yes, praise God. And it challenged me tremendously because I had to give that step of faith. So this scripture that says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then later on it says that we need to live by faith. It's that faith that God inspires to us. But that has nothing to do with nothing. And we're going to go on to the testimonies. But just to live in that place of faith. And I just want to read you Psalm 119 verse 2 as well. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. And I believe that when you seek him with your whole heart and you put out your faith like this, he meets you there. When your expectation is this small, that is what he will meet. He will meet your expectation. Expect more from God. Expect that he will inspire you to go. And then you will want to go. And that you allow him to impart that passion for his name and for his people into your heart. I just quickly want us to go to that two passages of the demon-possessed man as well as the prostitute. But before we go to the demon-possessed man, Jesus usually when we think about his ministry, we think he ministered far and wide, but he actually ministered in a very small area. If we can have that map on, would you please? Okay, it's a bit tough, but Jesus ministered on that left side, Galilee, Samaria, and then the Sea of Galilee is there on the top where he crossed into Decapolis. And this is where this demon-possessed man was met. He usually broke the chains, and he was there at the tombs, and no one could restrain him. And then immediately when Jesus came to the shore, he met him. And I'm going to quickly read us some scripture that just shows what happens when he met Jesus. And everyone was afraid of him, the poor guy. Mark 5, verse 18. Okay. So this man meets Jesus, and Jesus rebukes the demons out of him, and he actually becomes delivered from all these things that he was consumed in. All this attacks from the devil, and he just removed that from him. And then verse 18, he says, as he was getting into the boat, the man that had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him, and he did not permit him. And that was weird for me, because why would Jesus not permit someone that just came to salvation to follow him? Jesus says to us, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. But then he said, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus has done for him, and everyone marveled. It's amazing when we come to salvation, we have this tremendous passion to just go and share more and more and more, and we just want all the people to know what we know and what God has imparted to us. But somewhere along the line, we kind of become comfortable. We kind of become complacent and we just enjoy our walk with the Lord as if it's only meant for us. And in all the Gospels, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And I believe he asks that for us still today. And it is difficult to share your testimony without the Holy Spirit, but you have this friend. And he walks with you and he empowers you to speak this freely. Same with this man. He begged him that he might be with him, but Jesus said, no, go. Go to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. And everyone started to marvel. I remember when I came to salvation, it was the 1st of September, 2011. It's like Henning also said, Tracy told us that we need to try and portray more the goodness of God, because Romans says it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. And that Sunday I was very condemned because I was still consumed with a lot of stuff, a lot of sin. And I was constantly drinking just to get the depression thoughts out of my head. And that was another Sunday like that. And I didn't want to go to church because it just felt so condemning. And I just didn't want to go because I felt that I would be judged. And, you know, being hypocritical, I just stayed there. And then I watched this movie, Faith Like Potatoes, by Angus Bachan. And I saw a God that moved in his life that I'm not serving. Mine looked like Jesus. His name was Jesus. But he didn't do the same work as he did in Angus's life in mine. And I was starting to weep, and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I can't go on like this anymore. I need everything. And it was a split second, and then I started to see. I started to see what I was busy with, and I just started to pursue God's heart. He never told me. Just a quick background. I was addicted to pornography, every type of alcohol that you can think of. I used steroids. That's how I tried to find my, how can I say, my identity. But God never said, and this is why I want you to hear this, God never said to me, Johnny, I define you by those things. He called me. He called me from pain to minister to pain. That is what I believe. And he asked me, Johnny, would you share your testimony if I asked you to? And I said, yes, Lord, I'll definitely share my testimony, but not in front of the rest, in the front of the hostel where I lived, Huis Marais. And he's like, Johnny, would you share your testimony? He said, yes, Lord, I will share my testimony, but not in front of the guys at the rest, at the hostel. And he said, but Johnny, I want you to share it there. And but not on that specific day, only about 8 months after that. And it broke me inside because that's the one condition I had. We like to give God conditions. God, I'll do everything except this and this and this and this and this. And I don't want to give up my series that I get consumed in so much because I kind of like the feeling that it gives to me in that moment of time. No, Lord, I don't want to take up my cross right now. I don't want to go right now. Maybe later. Maybe I'll move later. And then I was faced with this challenge because there's one part of my testimony that is very heavy for a guy to share, and that is because I was homosexual, and I had homosexual encounters my whole life until I was my first year. And then I decided this can't go on like this. I was incapable of loving women, and I had desires for men. Now, I had to share that testimony in front of guys that I was with for 4 years, so it kind of broke me. And I spent a lot of time with God, and I said, God, I will only do this when you open up the doors. It was bad because Thursday, God told me, someone's going to ask you to preach. Then Sias calls me, which is the head of our pastor, and I thought, okay, no, I'm going to preach at Shofar, the big church. I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. And I'm like, he just calls me. He's like, oh, I just want to tell you you're not a sinner. And he goes on. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. I don't have to preach there. And then the rest called me. And then they asked me to share my testimony that Sunday. And I think I did it horribly wrong, but it was amazing to see everyone marveled how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Everyone sat there, and they didn't know what just happened, and they didn't know it's me that's actually speaking to them these words. And only two people responded. One that is zealous for God now. He's in another church, CRC, where he has a passion for God like crazy. And then my brother as well. But I believe he will have a radical change as well. But I think God started there in his heart. But anyways, that's besides the point. And I was just like afterwards, Lord, what happened? Many people didn't get saved. Many people didn't respond. And that Wednesday, 8 people got saved radically. The one guy smoked dacha and had an encounter with God, runs to the rest, starts preaching for everyone while they're choosing their rooms. And he just starts speaking this download of this vision that he has received from God while he was smoking dacha. And he just comes in and he starts proclaiming this vision that he sees. And he says, like, Burger, and I can't remember who else was it. It was Eon, and I don't know. He calls himself by name there. And they say, and he tells them, God says this to you. God says this to you. And he doesn't have any doctrine behind him. He just met Jesus, and he just came and he started proclaiming this message that God has been giving, that has given him. And he starts speaking to these people's life. They come to church on Sunday. They become radically saved. Spot on words from one of our pastors. They say, oh, there's 4 guys here. They're playing. They play rugby. They're just waiting for one another to respond. And here they come. And no one knows that they were there even at the church. They just came. Someone invited them. And I was just like, thank you, Jesus. No, we like to see. I like to see. I'm an evangelist. I want to see salvation. And then God just taught me, it's not what you can see in the natural. It's what happens in the spiritual. So be obedient. Some sow, some reap. Maybe you're a sower. Maybe you're a reaper. But we all are laborers. And we need to either sow or we need to either reap. And reaping often seems glorious, more glorious than sowing. But we have to sow as well. And one of them are very good friends. I'm very good friends with them now. And he's just so zealous for God. He just wants to take over this world. That's all that he wants to do. And I'm just like, thank you, Lord, that they didn't respond while I was preaching because I would have taken pride in my heart. Thank you, Lord, that you did that supernaturally on that Wednesday. And it was so amazing. They started to preach in Huis Maree. And every, how can I say, when you have your eating times during lunch, then they would stand up and then they would start to say, listen, I've given my heart to the Lord and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And people will just be like, what is this crazy person doing? Then another person gets saved. And they just started to go on like that and go on like that. And because I was vulnerable and obedient and transparent before people, I believe that gave some of my friends a position to speak to me as well. Because there were three other friends of mine that went through exactly the same thing as me, even worse. And I never knew it. They were right. They were my friends and they were close to me. There were some, two were in the church, other one wasn't. And they're like, Johnny, this happened to us as well. How did you get through this? I'm like, I started to ask God to show me how he sees me and not as how I or the devil wants me to see myself. And that when that revelation started to kick in, I no longer worried about what people would say. I still often do. But it's less, because by the blood of the Lamb and word of the testimony, you will overcome him. So the woman at the well, now this is the most awesome story ever. Because Jesus gets like a word of knowledge for this woman, and then just she radically changes, and then she go minister to the people that actually helped her in sin. Because her adulteress is not one person sinning, it's actually two people. I think that speaker doesn't like me. Let's read it, verse 25, John 4, verse 25. This was now after Jesus comes to the woman at the well, and this is Jacob's well. So I believe the presence of God must be there all the time, because this has been coming from a long time. No, I'm just joking, that's a joke. Where Jesus meets this woman, and she's thirsty for natural water, and he speaks to her about spiritual water. That the water that she will give him, that he would give her, would quench her thirst, and she will never thirst again. And he actually has this conversation with her that she doesn't actually know who she's, what they are worshiping, because salvation is from the Jews. It's important to note he says from the Jews, so it obviously would go on to the Gentiles as well. And he tells her, that he has living water for her. But she doesn't actually see that this living water is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we read, verse 25, the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. That's salvation. I believe there it's that moment where Jesus revealed himself to her, when he said, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he would talk with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you see or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot. Amazing. The thing that she was busy with, she wanted to draw water. She left her water pot because she already received that revelation of Jesus, that spiritual water. She no longer needed to draw water. Went her way into the city and said to the men, I've said to the people, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Now, I believe many of those men with whom she did adultery with, I believe many of them maybe hanged out of the windows or whatever when she started proclaiming. And they also saw, wait, something happened to this woman. And all that she said to them is that, come and see a man who told me everything. What I did. That isn't a persuasive word. That is something that happens in the spirit. They could see new life in her. And that is why I believe we are called from pain to minister to pain. Because she must have had a tremendous amount of pain, but she met the Messiah. And she went back to those men, I believe. Scripture doesn't make that clear, but I believe she went back to those men as part of the people of her city to proclaim what has happened in her life. And then there's another part of, let's just read a bit further. I didn't write it down. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Do you see what Jesus imparts to them? Like, you want to say the harvest is still coming. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. I'm just going to read that again. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. And then he speaks about those that reap and those that sow. I believe the harvest is already ready. Are our hearts in line with God's to see what he's doing every day? I don't want you to be an evangelist as I am. Unless you are an evangelist, then I want you to be evangelist as Jesus are. But if you are a pastor, if you are a teacher, if you are evangelist, if you are apostle, or I don't know which the first one, a prophet, or if you are a prophet, everyone is all of them, but you're always stronger in one of them. I want you to start praying and say, God, I want a passion for this. I want a passion for my pastoral heart. I want a passion for worship. I want a passion for intercession. I want a passion to be an evangelist. And just start living that out. We aren't all called to be evangelists. But if you are called to be an evangelist, be the best evangelist that you can be. Spend time with God. Ask him. Trust him. Lord, I want to share my testimony at work. I want to share my testimony. I love being a CA, by the way, because I have new clients every day, every week, every month, and I can share my testimony with them. But I trust God to share my testimony with them. And it's amazing to see what God does when you start living by that. I believe that when we become complacent or that we become comfortable, we start to become consumed with the issues around us, in us and about us. And then we kind of lose focus, and it's very difficult to get out of that place. But it's literally to set out an hour, 2 hours, and worship God and ask him, Lord, I'm going to trust you for more. I'm going to trust you to share my testimony and then share the gospel. I've got this wrong so many times. That's why I want to do Ignite, to teach people not to do the same stupid stuff that I did. Then I would hammer on what I did wrong and share this much about the goodness of God. Then I would share about the goodness of God and forget the first part of my testimony. But the Holy Spirit just blessed that obedience and people would start to weep. About 4 of our clients, then about PwC's clients, and I would just tell my testimony, and they would start to weep, and then I would forget to share the gospel. Then I'd be like, oh, okay, come to church. No, share the gospel right then. That is how I had to learn, until I had the opportunity again to share the gospel, to share my testimony. And then they start to speak their hearts out. They start to relate, and they start to say, you know what, I've been going through this. And it's hard and it's tough. My husband is cheating on me. And then I'm like, I know you for a week and you're telling me this. And then I start praying. And then we start praying. Then we start trusting God. There's one client, I won't mention names, but I told my testimony and she's just like, yes. And then she started asking how and why. And she's telling me about her husband that is looking at other women. And we just prayed for him. And then I had some corrections, we call them coaching notes, to do the next month. And I did my coaching notes and I had to go back. And she's like, she was so excited for me to come back because she wanted to tell me something. Her husband became reborn. Her husband gave her life to the Lord. And it was just so amazing. And I go, when you hear stuff like this, you're just like, yes, Lord, again, again, again. I know I need to take up my cross and it's difficult, but again, I want to do this again. I want to trust you again to share my testimony, to share your gospel. I just want to go with this. I just want to carry this. And then I just want to read the last part of a scripture, verse 39 to 42. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all the things I've ever done. That's all she said. But it was her obedience. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay. You know that place where you come to salvation, God just ignites something in your heart, and you're like, Jesus, I want to go to heaven now. That part, that passion, but just to portray that towards other people, to live that out. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Now look at this. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. That's why I believe our testimony ushers people in, and then they meet Jesus, and then they're like, we saw and we heard, this is Jesus, this is what he did in my life. He made the gospel personal for me to overcome the accuser of brethren, which is the enemy, the devil. And then it's just amazing how God brings radical change. She met Jesus. Jesus revealed himself to her. She no longer felt being defined as an adulteress, because that's what she was. And she went and she ministered for pain. That's just amazing. And we often believe the lies of the devil and say that, one, it either only happened with me. Everyone, I believe, has a dark passenger that they carry with them. And we're often under that impression that it only happened with me. Or that, no, God, my testimony isn't as radical as Johnny's, so I'm not going to share it. I bet you there's a million more people that went through exactly the same thing as you did. Don't fall for that deception, for that lie. Or you say that, Lord, I'm not adequate. I still fall in sin. I don't care. When you start focusing on Jesus, that just goes away. Amen. Start sharing what Jesus has done in your life. And I also believe that there's another lie, that I first need to sort out my life and then I can be able to share it. I think we receive healing. I know we receive healing when we start to share that part, when we start to share the love of God that he did in our lives. So never believe that you are inadequate, you are not able, because you are. Jesus died for you. He's given you the Holy Spirit. You can share your testimony. You don't have to be ashamed of it. You're not defined by people. You're defined by God. And I quickly want to read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. Because this inspired me so much. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. Why? Was my question. Because I believe when we are weak before him and we are vulnerable before him, his grace resides upon us and he empowers us. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then Paul says, I would most gladly boast in my weakness. I'm not talking about perfection. We don't have to be perfect before God. We need to be weak and vulnerable to allow him to fill that part that we can't, because we are flesh and we have sin and we fall short of the glory of God. David was a sheep herder. He became a king. And Amos was a sheep breeder, and he became a prophet, and he wasn't even a son of a prophet. Moses stuttered, and he led his people, God's people, out of Egypt. So none of those major faith giants were able, but God enabled them. And I believe we need to allow the Holy Spirit to enable us. And if you feel the Holy Spirit tugs in your heart today, that come and sign up with Ignite. But more than that, take this and go and impart it to your friends. Go and tell your friends. Go and live it out in your work area. We need to live the gospel. Do we believe the enemy's lies? Or are we just too afraid to share what God has done in our lives? Either way, we need to start spending intimate time with him and allow him to enable us to do what he has called us to do. I think I'll share this last part, and then I'm going to ask Porti to play a video clip. I don't know if you guys know Isaiah, but he's also a character in the Bible, very short book. God asked him to marry a harlot. Now that means that you're marrying a woman that sleeps with other men and then comes back again because she longs for your love. And the reason why he asked him to do that was because he wanted a living testimony of God's love for his people, because they were forsaking him. And that is radical obedience. And I don't believe God has made radical Christians and just Christians. He made Christians to be radical. That's it. There isn't a difference between the two. We sometimes get complacent, yes. And that's when we need to see God's heart again so that that impartation can come. You can't psych yourself up. I've tried that. It doesn't work. It needs to be birthed from him. And it won't happen in an instant. It's usually over a period of time where he starts to show you the poor, where he starts to show you people that are in desperate need. And this morning, my heart started to break because for the first time, I listened to Tani Linda and she shared a testimony with me. And I was just like, God, how have I never asked? How have I never listened to this? And it was amazing. And Tani Linda, I still think you need to write a book. And it's amazing. And it broke my heart. And I was just like, I didn't know this. And she's in my church. And I didn't know this in our church. Sorry for that. And it's just once again where I came to that point where God, just break me. God, just break my heart for what breaks yours. And I want to be like David. Dance in front of the people half naked and don't care. Don't dance before people half naked. I'm just saying that radicalness of him. I love that. I really love that. Porty, would you quickly play that video clip, please? I believe that God calls us exactly for that. It doesn't mean you need to go to Asia. It doesn't mean you need to go to China. It also means that, but it means we start here. We start here because we can make a difference and a change here. Our stats say 90% of Namibia is saved. That's a lie. 90% of Namibia might be religious, but they don't know Jesus. I believe 6% are born again. And John 3 verse 3 says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And later on it says, unless you are born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And we have received life and we can give life. Let us not only be called from pain to stagnate, but let's minister to pain. Let's take up our cross. It isn't a heavy burden. Jesus' yoke is easy. If there's anyone here this morning, with everyone's eyes closed, if there's anyone here this morning that you know you've been religious, you've known you've gone through the motions, but you haven't given everything over to God. If you are here this morning and you want to meet the living God and say, Lord, this is my life. Use it as you deem fit. I quickly want you to raise your hand. Thank you for that. And you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Don't be afraid of your girlfriend. Don't be afraid of your wife. Don't be afraid of your husband, fiance. This is eternity. This is your salvation. God takes this extremely serious. It's when it's the only time when heaven stops and rejoices over you. So if there's anyone here, they want to commit their life fully to Jesus and give over everything, lay down their life, I quickly want you to raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. If there's anyone else, I know there's more people, and I want you to listen. This is not a game. Wants life for you. Or if you have backslidden, or if you have taken a few steps back, you know you're not with him anymore, just to make that recommitment, I also want you to raise your hand. Then there's a second group of people. You know that you've become complacent and that passion that was in your heart when you first came to salvation, it kind of died. And you want that back, you desire for that. It's not something that you will attain through being driven, it's just through surrendering and being vulnerable before God, if that is you, I want you to quickly raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. And there's people here this morning, you have had a horrible week at work. Stuff was really dragging you down. God showed me a key for you. He showed me that once you embrace this cup of suffering, once you embrace it, as Jesus embraced his cup of suffering, he just has space to move. Don't try to figure it out. Don't try to sort it out. God is not a formula. He's living and he wants to help and he wants to walk with you. For that first group of people that responded and said, I want to give my life completely over to God, can you please come forward and stand on the left-hand side? I really want to speak with you. Thank you. It's a bold step, I know. You don't have to fear because we've all been there. All those people that raised their hands, please come forward. Don't be shy. This is a joyful time. And if you raised your hand that you would like a new passion to be birthed inside of you as was when you first got saved, I want you to stand on the left-hand side, please. Also to come forward. There's no condemnation with God. There's only going to be new life. And we want to walk a road with you. We want to have a relationship. We want to have accountability. And it's just amazing when a family also responds. It's just like, yo, this is God's heart. Responded today, it needs to be a heart change. It can't be my words. I need you to pray to God and just to do business with him, just to share your heart with him and say, Lord, I wanted it easy. Lord, I want your burden now and I want to walk with you. Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord, and that Holy Spirit, we can just invite you in. Just ask you to birth this passion inside of us. Ignite it, Lord. Let our hearts start to break for the people around us. That when we see the poor, that we will just not pass by, Lord. But that we will respond to you. God, I also wanted it easy. And that purpose, patience, perseverance, Lord, the disciples have. Let us embrace our cup of suffering, Lord. Even if we are significant as Jesus was for 1 hour, that is enough. Lord, let us become like David. Let our hearts be broken for yours, for what breaks yours.